Welcome. So to have some context, I will show you first some Zalando numbers. I guess in the US you don't know Zalando very much. So there are about 2,000 employees working for Zalando Tech. We have 14 million active customers in our webshop, and we sell basically fashion online. We have 7 tech hubs in Europe. My customers are all developer teams, and we need to scale massively. Can you hear me in the last row? Great, thanks. So let's have a look into Zalando's technology stack then. So we started with a PHP Magento webshop, and we rewrote it in Java, having like Elixir containers. With a management shift, we moved to the cloud. We scaled the org from 100 people to 1,000 people. And now we use Docker as deploy artifacts and use Kubernetes to orchestrate them. So what is meant here by large scale? We have 380 AWS accounts, roughly. And we have 100 Kubernetes clusters running. And we manage, during the day, we have 15,000 pods running on 700 nodes. And this is not the peak time, this is office times. And we are in Europe. Office time is not the peak time for our shop. So what is HTTP routing, you will ask? So it's routing based on HTTP data provided by the client, by the requester. So it means routing by path or by query or by headers. For example, host header and cookie. So here we see the client that calls example org. Like the HTTP router will inspect the host header and proxies to the right backend on the bottom. So we terminate TLS in the load balancer just before the HTTP router, normally. Then we split incoming requests by path, for example, / shoes. And in this case, we will call the catalog service. Common additional features you will find in probably every HTTP router are health checks, which can be either active or passive. Visibility like metrics and access logs and maybe open tracing. And what is the modern part of HTTP routing, right? So modern HTTP routing adds a bunch of possibilities. Like, for example, resiliency. What about rate limits and circuit breaker? Deployment patterns like blue-green deployments, shadow traffic, A/B tests. What about authentication and authorization? And what about API gateways, for example? And can we run in Kubernetes? So to understand higher level deployment patterns, how we implement this, I will give you a brief introduction to Skipper, our open source project that is the core of all of this. Skipper is a flexible cloud-native HTTP router and is made for frequently changing configurations. So if you know Kubernetes, you will change a lot of these objects. Skipper has a routing table proven to scale beyond 300,000 routes. We are running with 350,000 routes in the shop, and we have like 65,000 requests per second. The Skipper project is built as a first-class Go library. So if you want to modify it, you are free to use it as a library. Additionally, we provide binaries and Docker container to run it as a HTTP router. It has plugin and scripting support to be extensible without recompiling. A routing table consists of a number of routes, right? The route has a list of predicates and filters. Predicates will match an incoming request to a specific route, a best matching route. Each route has a set of filters. Let's have a look what the filter is. So filters can change HTTP on the request path and on the response path. For example, we can change the path of the request from slash API to slash. And we can also set a cookie in the response. A skipper route is written in eSkip syntax. A route has an ID, a set of predicates, filters, and the backend definition to call from the proxy point of view. Right. Route 1 match if example.org is in the host header and path starts with slash API. It will modify the path, replace slash API with slash, and at last, it defines the backend URL to call to with the changed HTTP request. Skipper supports shadow traffic and blue-green deployments. Both help you to improve resiliency by rolling out a new software version. Last, I will show a simple A/B test. So shadow traffic allows you to test with live traffic without notice of your users. So we clone the request, send it somewhere else. The skipper T filter copies exactly the request to a new target and drops the response from the backend, such that the user gets only the valid old answer. Right? This we call shadow traffic, and is mainly used for testing rebuilds with production load. The shadow traffic route will match example.org in the host header, and it will call backend example.org as before. It will clone the request to need new example.org. So Skipper can also split traffic to different backend services. Like this, you can roll out a new software version, like version 2, and slowly ramp up traffic, like 1%, 5%, 10%. 50%. Use your monitoring tools and metrics to see if version 2 is successful, and we want to automate the full pipeline, right? So we don't want to see and look the metrics anymore. We use a traffic predicate to match the route 1 for version 2 by 10% chance. Route 2 will get the rest and call the previous version as before. A project that automates the traffic switching in Kubernetes is our StackSet controller, and it will condense all the resources in Kubernetes to provide better usability, so you don't have to create a lot of resources. Now, A/B test. So to check if an implementation A is better than B, you can use A/B test. A request without cookie has a 10% chance to get a cookie for A. And the rest will get automatically a cookie for B. Here are the routes. 10% traffic gets a cookie set version equals A, and the rest will get equals B. And we call the backends as defined, and we get our answer. And then later we come back, right? We have a user flow, we have multiple requests. And a request with a cookie, we match to the specific service A, right? We want to bind it there. So we do it. The same applies for B. Clients will stick exactly to the chosen backend from part 1. So this is how you could implement A/B tests without the central servers, everything in the cookie. Here are the routes. Route 3 and 4 need to match the cookie we said before. Like this, we have sticky sessions for the particular version. So to run applications in production, you need to have like visibility. So to answer the question, if your backend application is slow, or return errors, you want to have metrics from your HTTP router, for example, because it's a central component. It's more easy for the user just to measure it there, right? And we see everything. So Skipper measures and exposes a round trip metrics, errors, counters, histograms. We export metrics in JSON and in Prometheus format. And to find which part of a service is slow, you should set up open tracing. I guess you know open tracing, right? Who of you have installed open tracing in their applications? One, two, not so many. Okay. So this enables you to get these waterfall charts to boil down which service in the chain is slow. So you have here a very detailed waterfall graph, right? And somewhere there is also Skipper. But you might want to also instrument your application better. And Skipper adds automatically the tracing headers for all incoming requests. And it reports to open tracing agents. There are multiple ones, for example, from Uber, there's this Jaeger, there are other implementations. And then we report to open tracing agents, and we see it in this nice waterfall charts. And this allows you to see like your HTTP router stack also in your open tracing. Right? And what about Kubernetes? Of course, we run Skipper also as HTTP router in Kubernetes. So let's start to introduce the Kubernetes core concepts for it. Who have a Kubernetes cluster running? Who knows what a pod is? Who knows what Ingress is? Whoever used Ingress? So if you have a deployment, this creates a set of pods in the Kubernetes world. And a pod is a like logical unit in a number of containers with one IP. And then a Kubernetes service selects a set of pods, and it acts as a TCP load balancer to them. And then Ingress is an external access point to services, configuring the HTTP router. In Kubernetes, the process configuring the HTTP router is called Ingress controller. And Skipper acts also as Ingress controller and HTTP router. So it's both implementations. And these filters and predicates seen before can be configured via Ingress annotations. Who knows what an annotation is? Okay, not so few. So basically, an Ingress YAML, so Ingress is defined in a YAML file, and there you have a metadata field, and there you have like key value pairs, a string, and these are called annotations. And at Zalando, there are two load balancer components involved. So we run an AWS, so we chose the AWS application load balancer and Skipper. So the request processing is going from top to bottom. First, TLS is terminated on the ALB. So like this, we can use the ACM certificates, and it's for us more secure than having like TLS terminated on the nodes, because the development teams have access also to their pods to like investigate, and so they cannot read these very important certificates and keys, right? Skipper is target of all ALBs, and it runs as on the worker nodes and does the HTTP routing. It selects the MyApp pods via Kubernetes service, and MyApp pods are application pods, so your containers, your applications. So technically, it's a bit different than this logical view of the world. So Skipper bypasses the Kubernetes service to reach pods directly. Pods exposed by a service are called endpoints. So there's also an endpoints object, which has these IPs and pods. Like this, we can do proper load balancing and do retries. We can do passive health checking. We observe the connections, find out that something is failing. We can retry. We can transparently retry to fix connection errors to single endpoints. And if some endpoint is constantly failing, we just drop it from the load balancer. And Kubernetes introduces a lot of new challenges for HTTP routers. So it's a dynamic system, meaning you get a lot of interruptions from your layer 7 load balancer point of view. And people deploy a cluster or pods needs to scale up and down, a cluster rebalance pods to other nodes. All of those need to be reflected in your HTTP routing table or your pool member list in your router. Kubernetes state updates are done by the master components. As default, Skipper updates every 3 seconds its routing table with the fresh endpoints from the master. For example, to populate endpoints if a pod was terminated, the worker node tells, hey master, pod X is going down. A master node has to update the pod and the endpoints, and the ingress controller instances, they also need to get this information and change their routing table. And as you might see, you already have here a race condition. And think about the API server calls that are hanging. This can be problematic for minutes. Yeah? And if you run 100 clusters at that scale, you always see these problems. Hanging calls to the API server can't be detected right now by use of the client Go library. They have no timeouts set. Therefore, all controllers that rely on client Go can lead to production errors. And we don't use client Go. So we have also documented how to reliably run as backend in Ingress because it seems to be not known also in the Kubernetes community. And yeah, this is only for documentation purposes. So make your photo and then I can go further. Good. We can also have unplanned node terminations. So for example, kernel panics, the kubelet will not be possible. The kubelet will never deregister your pods or that your node is going down. And then you have a 30 seconds TTL and etcd for all these pods to like be not active anymore. And you have 30 seconds, these endpoint list with pods from a node that doesn't exist anymore, that doesn't answer anymore. So observing and tracking this for is fundamental for reliability. The faster you update the routing table, the faster you can autoscale. And the faster deployments are online. But you need to have your timeouts to updates. HTTP routers also need to observe connections to find and track broken endpoints. And retry a call if possible. So what about rate limits? Like if you have like a cluster of 50 nodes and you have an ingress controller and you do rate limits, right? how do you know how many requests per second have the other 99 HTTP routers? How do you know it? So we call the solution from us, we call cluster rate limits. So we share data across all our known peers. We call it a swarm. We form a swarm of skippers. And then we calculate locally the shared state and our local state. And then we can calculate a proper rate limit. We use the SWIM protocol. Do you know SWIM? So it's a gossip protocol, but more efficient. So you get content from other peers and redistribute them. So it's very fast to populate this data. It's about less than a millisecond normally to populate the data. So that was it for today. We would like to see you hear from you in GitHub issues, in our Slack channel, in Gophers, Slack, in Skipper, or in the Google group. Or ping me at Twitter.
All right. Thank you so much. And does anyone have any questions?
Hi, thank you very much. Do you have multiple skippers active at the same time, or does the ALB read a health check on each one to determine which one should be load balanced from the ALB?
We run on every node, basically, a skipper. So we run it as daemon set on the worker nodes right now. We try to do a horizontal pod autoscaling with Skipper to make sure that we can also make it less expensive. Right now we run it as daemon set, so it's exactly a round robin from the ALB, right? And then we go from there.
Okay. Do you also support running an NLB instead of an ALB?
You could run an NLB in front of Skipper. Then you need to TLS terminate somewhere else, right? So yeah. In Skipper, it's possible. So we support SNI also.
Okay.
The question is only how do you have securely stored the certificates?
Yeah.
But you can do it. If the user has no access to your node, you trust also that they cannot escape the container. Mm-hmm. They cannot exec into the Skipper container. Mm-hmm. And additional things, right? Then you could do it. Yeah. For us, it's too complicated right now, but I would look into it 2019, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Are the configs for the routes actually just where are they actually stored?
In memory?
With the user-defined routes.
Okay, this is in ingress. So in ingress, they define a route basically by the ingress object. So there's a host name and there's a list of backend definitions with a path and a port.
Yeah, I guess I'm not articulating this well. I was meaning the actual filtering and the predicates you stated that are earlier, are those just labels on them, or where are those?
Yeah, it's called annotations.
Okay,
but yes, exactly. The user can decide what he wants to do with this route. Yeah.
Okay, so they're on the annotations.
Exactly.
Hey, we run with the ingress controller, the Nginx ingress controller. Would you compare Skipper to? It's basically doing the same for you as that would do.
So from my past experience, I tried Nginx with Mesos, but it's also a long time ago. And after 1 hour from 3 instances of Nginx, deploying software, I got like 30% 500, because one instance just like didn't update the configuration anymore. So, I mean, Nginx is very trusted, right? It's also very good software, but it's not meant for that, like, changes, right? And we have rapidly changes. The endpoints list are always updating, right? If you scale your pods, you get an updated endpoint list, and they have to reconfigure basically all their configuration file and reload. And, like, we have no problems with this.
But basically, you're running Skipper as an ingress controller for all tenancies in your Kubernetes
exactly.
cluster.
Exactly,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
All right. If we don't have any more questions, I'd like to give the speaker another round of applause.